A wet spring may have ruined planting season for central Illinois farmers, but a producer in Down says it's the perfect time to try hemp instead.
A good experience to get ready for next year, because I think next year the market's going to be huge.
That's Chris Berry. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is GLT's The Leadoff.
Support for GLT's The Leadoff comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are also willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.
It's Wednesday, June 19th. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from GLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Let's lead off with a McLean County farmer who says it may be too late to plant corn crops, but why not try hemp? GLT's Mary Cullen has more.
Chris Berry is a hemp farmer in Downs and vice president of the Illinois Hemp Growers Association. With an abnormally wet planting season, Berry says many farmers have opted not to plant their crops.
And that leaves an interesting opportunity for growing fiber crops, especially in the next 2 weeks. If you plant by late June, you can still get a good crop.
The Illinois Department of Agriculture opened applications to grow hemp in April. The first week saw over 100 applicants. Today, the number of Illinois farmers eager to start growing hemp is well over 600. Berry says growing hemp is similar to a hay operation, and the life cycle of the crop is only 60 days.
Anybody out there wants to grow something this year, look into throwing hemp fiber. It's a good experience to get ready for next year, because I think next year the market's going to be huge.
Hemp fiber is used to create materials like rope, canvas, paper, and cotton-like fabric. Hemp farmers can also opt to grow hemp seed or hemp flower, also known as bud. Not that kind of bud. Hemp flower has very low THC content. So instead of getting high, users are treating anxiety, pain, and other problems that CBD oil helps alleviate. Farmers can apply to grow industrial hemp on the Illinois Department of Agriculture website. For The Leadoff, I'm Mary Cullen.
And here are some other stories we're following in the GLT newsroom. McLean County Board Member Scott Murphy has resigned. He said he's buying a house in Bloomington Normal outside of District 2. The Heartland Community College Board has approved a tentative $32 million operating budget for next year. That includes about a 6% increase in salary lines. And Bloomington leaders say the spring legislative session in Springfield could bring in more tax revenue to the city budget. That'll come from online sales tax revenue and an increase in state motor fuel tax. You can find those stories and more at WGLT.org. The Ecology Action Center in Normal is planning its fourth household hazardous waste collection event this fall. In this interview with GLT's Charlie Schlenker, Ecology Action Center Executive Director Michael Brown says they've perfected the model of this public-private partnership, stepping into the gap left by the state abandoning its mandate.
We found a system that works, at least for the time being, in the interim until state funding does return to a more reliable cycle where we can count on that again. Our program really wasn't intended to be a permanent replacement for state funding. The state has always had responsibility to help local communities on this, and we do hope that returns at some point. This is working for right now, and we're one of the few communities in the entire state that is still providing this service in the absence of reliable state support for it.
If it is the state's responsibility, what's the trade-off? I mean, why not wait until they do take up what they're supposed to do?
Well, we know that, in the absence of the service, regardless of who's actually paying for it, that the problem is going to continue to grow. And people do dispose of things improperly, throwing hazardous waste in the trash or down the drain if they do not have the proper options. And we know that even with this, even with our every other year locally funded hazardous waste collection events, there's still people that call us we get daily calls about this issue, but there's people calling us, adult adults who have come home to clean out their parents' homes when they've, you know, moved into a residential, you know, retirement community, or maybe they've passed away and they have all these materials to get rid of on short notice. They can't wait 2 years for our next collection event. They don't have the time or the luxury of driving up to Naperville for one of the permanent facilities. And so we know that people get frustrated by the lack of options. And so still, you know, more often than not, people are probably disposing of things improperly. And that is a risk to our health. That is a risk to our water supplies. It's a risk to our environment. And so there will be ramifications. And so the more that we can increase the availability of proper disposal options, we're going to help safeguard the public health.
What are the signs that the state will or will not take up their mandate in the near future?
So they have resumed scheduling of events. I mean, there was a gap for a while, but, you know, in recent years, they have resumed it. It's not as regular as it used to be. But this spring in particular, while we did not get a warden event by the Illinois EPA, there was the most events I recall ever being scheduled by the IEPA all at once. I think there was something like 15 to 20 different events scheduled and funded by the Illinois EPA for hazardous waste collection. And so that to me is a sign that, you know, they're trying to catch up. They're trying to help meet the need. We know there was a lot of good provisions in the most recent state budget. I haven't looked closely enough to see, you know, how hazardous waste is funded in that yet. But there's a lot of good environmental provisions. And so I do think the current administration is prioritizing the environment.
So this might be the last one you have to do.
That would be exciting to me if that's the case. I mean, we still, going forward, would likely, you know, still coordinate this on behalf of the community with the state, as we did in the past when the state, you know, provided the bulk of the funding. We still were the local entity, and so we'll still always play a role. But yes, to not have to go to the community and ask for contributions, to not look to the local governments to help provide, you know, actually the bulk of the cost of the event. That would help everybody and free up resources for other needs in the community.
You can read and listen to the rest of this interview right now at WGLT.org. Before we let you go, a reminder that the McLean County History Makers Gala is tonight at ISU's Bone Student Center. This year's honorees are Rich and Judy Buchanan, Jana Edge, and Henry Gay. Thanks for listening to The Leadoff. Support for this podcast comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are also willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.